Savitri, from page 470 to page 472. These she controlled. Nothing was shown outside. She was still to them the child they knew and loved, the sorrowing woman they saw not within. No change was in her beautiful motions seen. A worshipped empress, all once vied to serve, she made herself the diligent serf of all, nor spared the labor of broom and jar and well, or close, gentle tending, or to heap the fire of altar and kitchen. No slight task allowed to others that her woman's strength might do. In all her acts a strange divinity shone. Into a simplest movement she could bring a oneness with earth's glowing robe of light, a lifting up of common acts by love. All love was hers, and its one heavenly cord bound all to all with her as golden tie. But when her grief to the surface pressed too close, these things, once gracious adjuncts of her joy, seemed meaningless to her, a gleaming shell, or were a round mechanical and void, her body's actions shared not by her will. Always behind this strange divided life, her spirit, like a sea of living fire, possessed her lover and to his body clung, one locked embrace to guard its threatened mate. At night she woke through the slow, silent hours, brooding on the treasure of his bosom and face, hung o'er the sleep-bound beauty of his brow, or laid her burning cheek upon his feet. Waking at morn, her lips endlessly clung to his, unwilling ever to separate again, or lose that honeyed drain of lingering joy, unwilling to loose his body from her breast, the warm, inadequate signs that love must use. Intolerant of the poverty of time, her passion, catching at the fugitive hours, willed the expense of centuries in one day of prodigal love and the surf of ecstasy. Or else she strove, even in mortal time, to build a little room for timelessness by the deep union of two human lives, her soul secluded, shut into his soul. After all was given, she demanded still. Even by his strong embrace, unsatisfied, she longed to cry, "O tender Satyavan, O lover of my soul, give more of love while yet thou canst, to her thou lovest. Imprint thyself, for every nerve to keep that thrills to thee, the message of my heart. For soon we part, and who shall know how long before the great wheel, in its monstrous round, restore us to each other and our love." Too well she loved to speak a fateful word and lay her burden on his happy head. She pressed the outsurging grief back into her breast, to dwell within, silent, unhelped, alone. But Satyavan sometimes half understood, or felt at least with the uncertain answer of our thought-blinded hearts, the unuttered need, the unplumbed abyss of her deep, passionate want. All of his speeding days that he could spare, from labor in the forest, hewing wood and hunting food in the wild sylvan glades, and service to his father's sightless life, he gave to her and helped to increase the hours by the nearness of his presence and his clasp, and lavish softness of heart-seeking words, and the close beating felt of heart on heart. All was too little for her bottomless need. If in his presence she forgot a while, grief filled his absence with its aching touch. She saw the desert of her coming days, imaged in every solitary hour.